Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Now joining me is Susan Irby. Susan is an award-winning author, producer, media host, and lifestyle reporter. She is also the creator of the Bikini Chef brand, recipes, and content. She was the host of the award-winning Bikini Lifestyle Show on KABC AM 790 and KTLK AM 1150 in Los Angeles from 2011 to 2014. The show also aired out on PBS TV. Susan is a certified fitness nutrition specialist. She's also an award-winning realtor, so not only can she help you live a healthy lifestyle, she can find the right house for you to do it in. What more can you ask for? I'm very excited to have her with me on this special edition of Next on the Tee. Hey, Susan, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Chris. And that's quite an introduction, and I love that. You know, I think you mentioned, you know, just a lot of the things I've accomplished over the years and in real estate. I just set goals, you know, and I just love helping people, and whether it's food, nutrition, or homes. And quite frankly, we all spend most of our time in the kitchen anyway, and that totally relates to the home. So
there you go. So let's go down that path, Susan. Here we are. It's mid-January, and this time of year is when many of us are looking at ourselves in the mirror and saying, boy, I got to lose 10, 15, 20, whatever it is, pounds. How can we get serious this time, change our eating habits, and by the way, change our mindsets as well, lose that weight and get healthier?
Well, I love, and I put in quotes in my notes, your term, this time, right? How many times I've done it, we've all done it, where we say, oh, I need to lose these 5 pounds, these 10 pounds, like you said, and then something comes along that's engaging, and we're like, well, this little bit won't hurt. I can start back, you know, next week. And so the bottom line is we are in control of what we put into our mouth, right?
Yeah.
Whatever food and drink, how much, how often. So we each arrive at a critical point where we say, enough is enough, right? Whatever that feeling is for you, all of a sudden you just think, I don't want to feel this way anymore, right? And when you get to that point, you're just like, I'm just tired of feeling this way. I don't want to feel this way anymore. And you say to yourself, I can do this. I will do this. And you actually change that to, I am doing this. And then set a big goal. Not a goal like climb Mount Everest, right? But identify what makes you feel your best. So let's take you. You love golf, right?
Right.
Okay. So maybe you start walking the course instead of driving a cart. Maybe you walk the course more often. Let's say it's tennis. You commit to playing in a tournament, or like even your golf. Maybe you commit to playing in certain tournaments and upping your game and walking the course. Maybe you set, like I said, with tennis, in 3 to 4 months, you set the goal that you're going to play a doubles tournament or even a singles tournament with a friend or family member or someone, you know, that you associate with, and you commit to training for that. So you have a goal, and we'll talk about some of my fitness goals and how that worked for me in a few minutes, but you're setting a goal that is centered on an activity that brings you joy. right? And when you bring that joy, that will bring you to your next level of commitment and make you less inclined to go, oh no, this time, and your this time will be different. So, and then as you're working towards your activity goal, whether it's golf tournament, for me, a marathon, tennis tournament, your diet will naturally improve and your mindset, I promise.
Okay. Susan, I know a lot of sugar fiends. People, when they get upset, stressed, or anxious, they're reaching for something, chocolate, some cake, donuts, you name it. They eat it and then get depressed about it afterwards. And I read the article on your website, thebikinichef.com, about the link between sugar and depression. Talk about what that link is.
Well, it's a very real link, number one. And exactly what you're talking about is true to life. We all go through it. Sugar, while technically not a drug, it acts like one. So there's an initial high, an initial energy, elevated mood, and then boom, you crash, right? There's truth about moms and their kids, you know, around Halloween when their kids are eating all this candy and then they're like running around like crazy and then boom, wham, now they're moody, they're upset, they're cranky, and you just want to have them go to bed, right? So the high wears off as a drug would do, right? And to replicate that high, you crave more sugar. Yet eventually you're going to crash, much like a drug. It infects the chemical balance in your body and your brain. You're going to feel depressed. And then even deeper than that, yes, the psychological aspects of guilt and shame feel, plus sugar, you're just going to feel so sluggish. And then you're just going to be like, oh, why did I do that? Right. So let's go back to like how to get serious this time. Think of that activity that brings you joy, that you want to do more of that activity that brings you joy. And you're going to be less inclined to be sitting around and craving the sugar. Okay. So it all relates to depression. And another tip I have that I incorporate daily is that donuts and things like that, I don't keep them in the house. You know, I have dark chocolate in the house. I set my serving size to like 1 ounce, right? Or one dark truffle, one square of the chocolate bar. Have there been times when I ate three squares? Yes. You know, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I had three truffles instead of one, but I didn't eat the whole box, you know?
And yeah. Susan, to take that a step further, is there a connection between sugar and inflammation in the body? It seems like I read a little bit about that on your site.
100%. So, insulin is a hormone that tells the cells in the body to absorb sugar and use it for energy. Now let's talk about where sugars come from. You know, so sugars can come from fresh fruits like berries and apples and beets, right? Things of that nature. And then there are added sugars, and primarily the most of the problem is, as a society, as a culture, we're eating too much of the added sugars, right? So now let's talk about inflammation. So you're a golfer. Have you ever stubbed your toe, or maybe the golf cart? Did the golf cart ever run over your toe, Chris?
I've stubbed my toe many times. Not sure someone's run over my foot with the cart yet. But my butt, don't give my buddies any ideas.
I was going to say, maybe your buddies did.
Right?
Well, you know, the skin around your toe gets inflamed. It turns red, right? It's like, ouch. Well, that, there may be some swelling. So this is a type of inflammation. It's the body's natural protective mechanism, right? To like further protect the cells from further damage. And heal those cells that, you know, are in some pain, right? So internal inflammation is much the same way. So we can just think of inside of our body as one big toe.
That's great.
Yeah. So the average American, studies show we consume 17 teaspoons of added sugar, while a realistic level is around 6 teaspoons. So I'm not a math major, but that's less than half.
Right.
Yeah. So when we have too much sugar in the body signals go, what am I supposed to do with this? Right. And so it starts storing it in our fat cells. And when extra sugar, glucose, and that energy is like, it has to go somewhere, right?
Right. And
sugar is not a high fiber food. So sadly, you're not going to eliminate it like you would, let's say, broccoli, right? So it becomes stored as maybe future energy sources for the body, because it's like, what am I supposed to do with this excess sugar? And therefore, it leads to weight gain. And really, the only way to turn that around is to reduce the amount of the added sugars. You know, it's about diet. And then exercise is a way to tone the body and then helps promote the mind, right, and spirit to want to eat, you know, make better food choices.
Susan, let's change gears a little bit. And you've got a 30-day bikini body challenge on your website. And about 35% of my audience is female, and the other 65 obviously male. So the females are looking, you know, for the bikini body. The rest of us, the 65% of the guys, we're looking, how do we get rid of this dad bod that we've put on? How can we change our mindset away from all the foods that, boy, I sure wish I could eat that, and really change it over to getting excited about the things that we actually can eat?
Well, first of all, men can be bikini. Okay. So they have Speedos for you.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the day of like the movies, I think in like the 30s and 40s, you know, they wore those like tanks, right?
Yeah.
They wore the body tank. So, you know, you can have a monokini.
Wow. I hope those don't come back.
Okay. So what I love about the 30-day body challenge, whether you want to be bikini or not, it starts off with really kind of a shock to your system in a way. But habits, studies show that habits are formed when you repeat something or do it consistently for 21 days or longer. Right. So I put it on 30 days because the first 5 are just kind of, it's a little bit of a culture shock. It is. So I have these blended drinks that I encourage you to make at home. There's a beet-based one. Don't say you hate beets because there's so many more other ingredients in there that you don't even realize it's beets, right? There's green grapes or red grapes and lemon and lime. It tastes good, even if you're not used to it. And then there's a kale based one. There's kind of a spicy one made with peppers. So I recommend that you do 5 days of that. Now, for most people, that can be too much of a shock to the system, right? So you're going to be, and if you have irritable bowel syndrome, you definitely want to do it because it's so much fiber, right? So you have to be careful and know your limitations. But at the same time, even if you don't do those 5 days with just those cleanse drinks, you can still begin to incorporate them into this new change of diet. And then I provide a structured plan for each week and each day of what you're going to eat. And it essentially boils down to your BFFs, guys have BFFs too, to your PFFs, right? So your health and body BFFs are your PFFs. So they're lean proteins, high fiber foods, and healthy fats. And that's what I live by in my life. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect every single day, but when I'm on target, and I am right now because I'm training, and we'll get to that later, but lean proteins, high fiber foods, and healthy fats. And there are so many ways to make those recipes taste good. And I would venture to bet that pretty much anyone and everyone listening to this podcast right now has, in some shape or form, those ingredients and elements in their diet right now. The hindrance to achieving goals is what you're putting on those lean proteins, how you're preparing those high fiber foods, and maybe how much of the healthy fats you're consuming. So it's a balance. We can get more into that.
For sure. Let's talk a little bit about belly bloat, because that's something we golfers can see and feel. And I know a big cause of that can be beer. And we typically partake of beer out on the golf course, or certainly at the 19th hole. Talk about the things that we are eating and drinking that cause belly bloat.
Well, first I want to, ask you, maybe I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
So sure.
Other than beer, what are you consuming that maybe when you feel bloated or something?
I don't know, Susan. I mean, I'm a big water drinker. I've partake of that because I hear so many good things about it. I drink myself to death of water, and I'm not a big soda drinker, but I know a lot of folks are. I know people in my family that love to drink Coke or Diet Coke, and I'm imagining that's probably a no-no. But like I say, I do drink beer. I'm a Guinness guy, so I'll drink one of those a night.
Nice. But,
yeah.
Well, one of those isn't going to kill you. but, things that cause belly bloat are, you're exactly right. So beer, of course, any kind of alcoholic beverage or carbonated beverages. Other things, actually, though, can cause belly bloat, even though they're good for you. Black beans, kidney beans, lentils, things of that nature. Some of those can also cause belly bloat. So I think there is a difference between belly bloat and belly fat, right?
Yeah.
So, but with both of them, and you already said it, your biggest proponent of combating belly bloat is going to be to drink a lot of water. And the second proponent of that is going to be exercise, because in exercise, we naturally perspire. And when you perspire, so you're drinking water in and then you're perspiring water out, and it's releasing toxins, and that whether it's beer or whatever, there's excess in the body, right? That the body is, again, going back to, what am I supposed to do with all of this? So it'll just be like, feel bloated and gassy, or maybe, you'll develop belly fat. And that all comes back to a lot of the things we were just talking about, excess sugar in the body. And then those foods, some foods just naturally, are gassy, belly bloating food. So water's going to combat that. Exercise, yogurt, like kefir yogurt. So it fermented, right? Fermented foods, probiotics, things like, when you go to the sushi restaurant and you get that ginger.
Yes.
That is really good for you, right? We're going to talk in a few minutes about vinegars and things like that. So I did want to point out, especially because you're talking about golfing and beer. Okay, so let's think about this. You're saying you have your Guinness at night. No problem. I'm talking about, you know, you're on the golf course. I don't know how many beers maybe the average person consumes on the golf course, but there's a golf course down the street from my house. And I'm pretty sure that the girls and the guys playing golf, they drink a lot more than one Guinness at night. So I'm not criticizing them at all. I'm just saying that. So when it comes to beer and belly bloat, so wine has about 1 to 2 grams of carbs, right? Beer has about 10 to 20 grams of carbs. Although beer actually has been touted, with having more nutrients than say wine, it has fiber, it does have more calories. Some beers, it can have some B vitamins, but beer is almost more like a food, right? So like I was talking about like those lentils and this, and many people equivalent, you know, that. And so I did kind of a quick analysis of your basic average turkey sandwich. So your turkey sandwich has about 26 carbohydrates, 329 calories, and 11 grams of fat. So a beer, if you're drinking 6 beers,
oh my,
you're eating about 3 turkey sandwiches.
Okay. Good to know.
So if you break it down and you're on the golf course, I understand you're out there a long period of time, like what, like 4 hours?
Right.
Yeah. So walk the course, have your beer, and drink your water, which you said you do.
Right.
Yeah. So that's one thing. But also, typically, and I don't want to be stereotypical, however, a lot of times, beer drinkers and wine drinkers are not necessarily eating the healthiest foods either.
Indeed. Right? Indeed. Yeah. Hot dog at the turn, you know.
Yeah. So if you're combining the two of them together, right? So if it was just beer and then you're eating hummus with some celery sticks and a half of a turkey sandwich, no problem. But if you're eating, you know, corn chips and pub cheese, and you're not really helping yourself out.
Probably not. I'm with you. Susan, one of the things that you do every morning is you drink a shot of lemon juice, one whole lemon, including the pulp. Talk about that and what that does for us.
I love my lemon shot. I have been taking a lemon shot since like the year 2000. So going on 23 years now. Most people think that I do my lemon shot like it's lemon water. And I'm kind of hardcore, if you can't tell, in many ways, in the sense that why do I want to dilute it with water, right? If the lemon is that good for me, I just want the whole thing. And I just shoot it really quickly. And I don't put anything else in it. Some people put cayenne pepper, some people put honey. It takes you 2 seconds. You just shoot it and boom, you're done. I love it because it's an instant digestive flow, right? So I take my lemon shot. My guy brings it to Sweetly. He brings it to my bed every single morning now. So, because I was telling you earlier, I don't get out of bed until I read my Bible and do my devotional. So I do my lemon shot, I read my Bible, and then I write out my prayers.
Great way to start the day.
I know. So, but lemon specifically, I mean, all citrus has vitamin C properties, right? But lemon specifically has immune support, improves digestion. So I start it in the morning on an empty stomach. Then I go after my devotional and my prayers, and it stimulates your digestive flow. It also stimulates metabolism, right? So it gets my system fired up. And it also, though, has other properties. So it helps prevent against heart disease. It helps to balance cholesterol. The pulp in it is a pectin that helps the absorption of iron from other types of food. So it's easy to get iron from those lean proteins I was talking about, right? But there's protein in all types of foods. You know, vegetables have a certain level of protein, plant-based foods, nuts, seeds, those beans have protein. Quinoa is a complete protein. So the lemon actually helps improve the absorption of iron from plant-based foods. So there's just, it helps prevent kidney stones because of the citric acid. So there's just a plethora of health benefits that come from doing a lemon shot. And I purposely do it in the morning on an empty stomach because I feel like it gets all those properties in right away. So how do you feel about that?
I like it. I like it. I think I'm going to incorporate that into my every morning. So thank you for that.
It's good. Now, I will warn you that some people may have a more sensitive digestive system, right? I feel like I have a stomach made of steel almost.
I think I do too.
Yeah. So, you know, for those of us who have that, you know, drinking a straight lemon shot is not a problem, but on an empty stomach again. But some people may have a more sensitive digestive system. So for them, they might want to dilute it with water. But if you're going to do that, whoever's listening, if you're going to dilute it, maybe just do like half and half. So one lemon shot to one shot of water. Okay. Don't put it in an 8-ounce glass with one lemon shot. You really need to get the maximum benefit of the lemon properties. And I don't have any proof on this. And I don't want to jinx myself, but I feel like I've avoided many colds, flus, and other viruses that will go unnamed because, I mean, like I said, I don't have any confirmed data to support that. But because I keep that level of immunity in my system every single day, I feel like it really helps prevent me from, you know, from illness. And sometimes if I'm feeling sluggish or I feel like something's coming on, or if I've been in a large group of people, you know, I'll go home and I'll do an extra lemon shot.
So let's take that and go a half step further too, because you mentioned vinegar a moment ago, and yeah. I'm a big fan of apple cider vinegar. Do you like apple cider vinegar? Do you think that's a good thing for us to also incorporate?
I like apple cider vinegar. How are you using it? Are you doing like a shot, or what are you doing?
Yeah, I do a shot and I do dilute it a little bit. I wasn't at first, but I think I was doing a little bit of harm to my throat just taking it straight, even though I don't mind the taste of it at all. Yeah. But so I dilute it just a little bit, but I do it every morning.
Yeah. So I am a fan of apple cider vinegar. I prefer lemon over the apple cider vinegar. I feel like the lemon has more immune properties than vinegar. Vinegars in general have health properties, right? They're a fermented acid. They're good for your gut health. They do stimulate digestion. But I feel that apple cider vinegar can sometimes, I just feel it doesn't have the same immune boosting properties as lemon does. So I choose the lemon shot over apple cider vinegar. And vinegars in general. So, you know, I'm a chef. I've written 11 cookbooks. I love to cook. I use apple cider vinegar in my salad dressings. When I'm cooking different, you know, different foods like chicken, which is kind of a dense protein, they need that vinegar because the vinegar will help break down the protein. So I'm also a fan of, say, apple cider vinegar, let's say, because we're coming up on your next favorite topic, which is meat lovers. So let's say you go out and you have a big steak. I feel that there's a reason why, I can't speak for all of Europe, but I know when I was traveling and working in Italy, they eat the salad with a simple balsamic and olive oil vinaigrette after the entree, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And it's because the vinegar in those dressings helps to break down the proteins and it helps improve your digestion after you eat the big meal, right? So let's say you now want to become a big fan of doing a lemon shot in the morning. I would recommend doing your apple cider vinegar shot after you have your biggest meal of the day.
Ah, great advice. I like that. So let's go on to that topic, because so many of my listeners are men. And like you said, we are meat eaters. You've got what looks like a fantastic recipe for herb crusted prime rib that I am dying to try on your website as well. Talk about the secret of making a great prime rib that doesn't end up all dried out at the end.
Well, the secret, as with anything, Chris, is to start with a quality prime rib, and quality does not mean expensive. Okay. So there's a store here called Stater Brothers. They did not pay me to say this, but they have the best quality meats at the most effective prices of any store around. And so what you want to look for, I know guys always think, oh, it's got to have marbling, marbling, marbling. Trust me, there's plenty of fat in the meat. You want to look for something that's actually leaner, right? Because too much marbling, it's going to be all fat. And the myth is that all the flavor's in the fat, and that is simply not true. So you want to look for a nice, healthy, sturdy prime rib that's not overly fatty. Okay.
All right.
That's number one. Number two is I do trim off some of that extra layer. You don't need that huge thick layer. I mean, you want to leave some of it, but again, you don't need an inch thick of fat. Like a half an inch will be fine. And then what I do is I take fresh rosemary and fresh thyme, and I mince it up. I chop it up really fine. And I take grapeseed oil, not olive oil. A lot of people cook with olive oil, but grapeseed oil has a higher cooking point, right? So less burning. And I lightly coat the prime rib all over, sides and everything, with that. And then I put sea salt and pepper. So finely ground sea salt and freshly ground pepper. I put that all over it. And then I literally kind of pat the rosemary and thyme on the outside, the whole prime rib. The secret I found, because I've done a lot of them, is I crank the oven up and you preheat the oven. Okay. So before you even season it, you preheat the oven. Because when you want the prime rib to go in, you want it the oven hot, because you're going to waste valuable cooking time if it's not up to temperature. And that's how a lot of meats and fish get overcooked. So you want to make sure your oven is like at 425 before you even put it in.
Okay.
And if I could back up to the first thing you do. So let's say you're going to make your prime rib for Super Bowl Sunday, which you're probably going to do sliders or something, but let's say you're doing prime rib. And so you buy it, Super Bowl's on Sunday, you buy your prime rib on Thursday or Friday, it's sitting in the refrigerator. So you want to pull that prime rib out of the refrigerator at least an hour before you want to cook it. Okay. Because that way the meat is more even temperature throughout before it even goes in the oven. Right. So again, it goes to that cooking time and not overcooking. Because if you put it in a hot oven cold, it's going to cook the outside, but the inside's trying to catch up. It's too cold. So you kind of want the whole thing to be not totally room temperature, but you want it to be, you know, warmed up a bit before you season it and put it in the oven. Okay. Now, you put it in your 425 degree oven. You put it in there uncovered. And you leave it in for about 15 minutes. Then you turn your temperature down to about 350. And then that's where you just leave it alone. Prime rib is one of the most complicated, simple dishes of all. Yeah. So you just put it in the oven, and depending on the weight, it's about 15 to 20 minutes per pound, maybe. I would say more on the 15 side. It's easier to cook it longer than to, once it's cooked, you can't under.
You're going back.
Right. And you want to invest in a meat thermometer. And so you're going to put the meat thermometer in, but I always get bone in. And about, let's see how I'm trying to think. I think I did four bones for Christmas.
Wow. And
that easily served four people. And then each couple had leftovers, you know, for that next day in the week. So a four bone prime rib is perfect for about four to five people, right? If there's kids, you can include, you know, six in that. And so when you take your meat thermometer, you want to put it directly in the center of the prime rib without touching the bone. Because the bone gets hotter, right, than the actual meat that's cooking.
Makes sense.
So when you put the meat thermometer in, you just want to put it in the center of the prime rib, not touching the bone. And you want to cook it to about 132, depending on how rare or not rare you want it, right? Because when you take it out, this is another misconception about cooking meats, is that, oh, the meat's going to be cold. No, like when you take that out of the oven, and it needs to rest for about 20 minutes before you start carving it. And that the center of that prime rib, it's going to still be hot. So that gives you time to get everything else on the table, right? Like your horseradish and whatever else you're doing. You have plenty of time. I set the table ahead of time, and I have a whole program for that on my website, like a timeline. But you pull it out of the oven at about 132. And then you just let it rest, and it will continue to cook, and that temperature will continue to rise, and it won't be overcooked. And if some people, maybe if the center is a little bit too rare for some people, you know, you can always put it back in for a minute or two. The risk you run on that is forgetting about it, and then it's overdone.
Right.
So, yeah. It's all about timing.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, but let me give you another thing I love about the rosemary and thyme is that you have the au jus, and a lot of those herbs will fall into the au jus. So it's delicious, and you can just strain off the herbs with just, you know, a strainer in a bowl, strain off the herbs, and it's delicious with that. You have that beef flavor with a hint of the salt and pepper. And then you have the rosemary and thyme. Oh my gosh. I think I may have to make one.
Yes. No kidding. I'm thinking, boy, it's almost dinner time here in the East. I got to run out to the store real quick.
I do want to Yeah, I do want to talk to you though really quickly about the meats, right? So for meat eaters, it's wonderful to have a prime rib. However, bison, do you like bison?
Very much.
Yeah, so bison is one of the leanest meats you can have. And I have a recipe for a bison burger on my website. And then also when it comes to steaks, filet mignon is my cut of choice because it's naturally leaner, right? And you don't have all the fat on the outside. And contrary to most people's belief, the meats don't get their flavor from fats, right? They get it from seasonings and proper cooking methods. So really quickly, I'll just tell you how I do my filet mignon.
Okay.
All I do is just put that sea salt and pepper on the outside. I use my iron skillet, grapeseed oil. I get it really hot. I crank up my oven to about 400 degrees, let that preheat, and then get my iron skillet smoking hot. Toss in my filet mignon, leave it like about 1 minute till it gets that nice crust on the outside, right?
Yeah.
Flip it over 1 minute on the other side, leave it in the iron skillet, and you put it in the oven, depending on the thickness of the steak, for about 10 minutes. Perfect every time.
Wow. Yeah. Now that's an easy one we can do tonight for sure. Love that. Thank you.
I want to know how it comes out.
I'll be glad to share.
Yeah.
Susan, now that you've got us all hungry and we're thinking about the meat, and then we talked about the sugar and all that sort of stuff. This goes way the other direction. You train and run for marathons, and I want to get it right, 26.2 miles, not 26 miles. So running that far is something most of us can't even fathom. What got you interested in doing something like that?
Well, I think most people could do whatever they set their mind to. So I'm going to start with that. And when I was a child, up until I went to college, we lived on several acres of land, and they were all hills and trees and woods and forest, and we had a steep driveway. So it's not conducive to me anyway to riding a bike. Now those mountain bikers would be like, I'll take that on all day long. But you got to remember, I'm not old, but I was born, you know, like in suburbia, Marietta, Georgia, on this big hill. Like what's a mountain bike? I don't think I'd ever even heard of a mountain bike. So biking just never was my thing. I like sports where I can have my feet on the ground, like tennis. And also I'm competitive. However, I never wanted to feel like I was going to cost someone the game. Right. So running kind of became my thing. And my dad used to run. He would go run behind our house in the hills and everything. Now, my mom, on the other hand, she was super competitive. She played softball. She didn't have any fear of, you know, blowing the game because she was known as the bionic arm.
Wow.
Yeah, she would play like left field and hurl that ball in. And she was, you know, gosh, then I don't know, she's 85 now. So she's probably like, I don't know, in her 40s, maybe 50s. Anyway, yeah, she's still really competitive. But I just decided that those kind of sports weren't for me and running worked for me. And so I just developed a love of running. When I go run, I push myself. It clears my mind. It's something that I can do. I don't want to sound like I'm a loner, because I'm not by any means of the imagination, but like it's time to myself. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And like I said, it clears my mind. I do some of my best thinking and brainstorming and ideas on my runs. And then for me, as far as marathons, I don't know. I think I was just honestly years ago, a lot of years ago, like maybe 1990, 8 and 9. I was living in LA and I was doing a lot of auditions, and there was a lot of pressure to like be super thin, but I was still, you know, enjoying my corporate luncheons and things like this. So I think I just pushed myself to just stay in shape, you know what I mean? And so I used to go just on my own. One day I decided to run in the soft sand in Venice Beach up to Santa Monica. And I would run in two pair of socks, you know, like the men's, like, you know, workout.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Those white socks, you know, you buy them at Walmart. So I would put on two pair of socks, and one day I would run from my condo over to the beach, and then I just run up the beach, and one day I just kept running, and I don't know, I was like, this feels really good. And one of my clients, when I was in corporate world, he was a runner, and he said, well, why don't you run the Super Bowl Sunday 10K with me? I'm like, oh, I can't run a race. He's like, yes, you can. I'm like, he's like, you're running all the time. I'm like, oh, because I always thought, oh, to run a race, you had to win, right?
Hmm.
And he's like, no, it's just about getting out and, you know, having a great time. So I did. So I did a 10K Super Bowl Sunday. Just ironically, we're doing this around Super Bowl, right. But I know. And I don't remember what year that was, but it was probably like 1997, maybe 96. And I loved it. I had a blast. And so then from then on, I had always wanted to run a marathon, but I was like most people, I was terrified. I'm like, oh, 26.2 miles. I could never do that. So I did a couple of half marathons. And this would be in like 2013, I think. So I started doing half marathons, and I think I did like 4 of them. And I just remember after the last two I did, I was just really ticked off at myself.
Why?
Because I was like, I did 13.1. All the rest of these people are going on. Like, I still got some left in the tank. I got to do this. And so I set a goal to do my first marathon. And remember at the beginning of our conversation today, I said, set a big goal.
Right.
So I was like, well, I'm going to run the Kauai marathon, because I had never been to Kauai. It's obviously a gorgeous place. And I wanted to run the marathon. I knew it would be super cool and fun to do. And so I trained for it. I trained in the hills I'm training on now. And I'm born and raised in the South. So I grew up with humidity. Humidity does not bother me. But I set a big goal. And I set the goal to run the Kauai Marathon. And when I set a goal like that, I'm not just going to finish. Like, I'm going to do it. And I don't have to win the race. And I did. And it was one of the best experiences I ever had.
Wow.
Yeah. And gorgeous setting. And I would have finished probably 20 to 30 minutes faster, but the course was so gorgeous, I kept stopping to take pictures. That's so true. I did. Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to give a shout out to Natty D Bermuda. You should follow her on Instagram. I don't think she's on Twitter, but Natty D Bermuda, I met her on the race. So I was running, it was my 50th birthday. And it was her 40th birthday. We have the same birthday, 10 years apart. And neither one of us had run Kauai. We met during the race. And I remember after mile 18, I thought I had lost her. Like, she had passed me. And she comes running up behind me. And she's like, oh, I've been pacing you. I go, well, that's funny. I've been pacing you. I actually beat her. I finished before she did. And we have another goal we're going to run when I'm 60, which is only about 2.5 years away. We're going to run again. I'll be 60 and she'll be 50. And we're going to go back to Kauai and run that one.
Wow. Look forward to hearing all about that 2.5 years from now. That's
yes,
gotta be
something. Thank you. But the one I'm working on now is the Orange County Marathon. So I'm super excited.
So the next step in the point of the conversation we were having, you know, talking about the questions I was going to ask and that sort of thing, kind of goes along within the marathon, because I'm sure not many people have much body fat that are out there running marathons. And we want to talk about how to get flat abs. That's something all of us want. And you've got some tips for how we can achieve that and do it in a more fun way, not the conventional, I'm just going to do some sit-ups sort of way. Talk about doing sit-ups, getting flat abs, and doing it in a way that's interesting.
Well, abs are fun. Okay, we've all got them and we all need them. And you can just have a lot of fun with that, right? And so I posted today, because you had asked me that question in preparation for our conversation today, I have my 15-minute abs video that I did like 9 years ago. And I still do pretty much that same ab workout today. I love it. And 15 minutes, you're done, right? So that's also fun, because it's not super labor intensive. You don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to have any fancy equipment. You can do it in your hotel room. You can do it on the beach, wherever you want. And 15 minutes, you're done. And you have a strong, fit ab, I promise you. And essentially, the abs, it's all about core strength and form. Okay. So abs really boil down to core strength and form. And of course, if you're just starting out, you haven't done ab workouts in 20 years or maybe ever, and you look at my workout and you're like, oh, I could never do that. Just do what you can, you know, just do what you can. So you start out with a plank. If you can't do a full body plank, then do, you know, a half body plank, like, you know, on your knees and just plank there. Or do the full body plank, making sure you're in proper form. And I show the proper form in my video. But essentially, you want to have your butt lifted, not too high, and your abs engaged. What that means is like tightened, right? So suck it in. Like you're going to go on a modeling shoot. Like you're going to do a photo shoot, Chris, at the beach. Like, yes. Suck it. All right. Or like Steve Martin and Schwarzenegger, right? We're here to pump you up. Yeah. Most of the people listening to this probably have no idea what I'm talking about, but it's a Saturday Night Live skit. And so you want to be engaged. So in my video, we hold the plank for 1 minute. If you can only do 20 seconds, do 20 seconds. And then the next time you do it, work up to 30 seconds and then 45 seconds and then 1 minute. But don't try 10 seconds to go, oh, I can't do this. Mm-mm, that's not acceptable. And then I just move into side plank, right? So you're on your side and you're dipping your hip down and lifting up. But again, proper form. I do 25 on each side. If you can only do 10, then do 10 on each side. But essentially, my abs plan is I'll do 200 reps of abs plus what they call in Pilates the 100, right? Where your legs are tabletop, your shoulders are lifted, your abs are engaged, and your arms are straight out, and you're pumping your hands up and down to the count of 100, right? So I demonstrate that in my video as well. But essentially, it's 200 and then 100 of those. And so if you're bicycling, however, right, it's not 25, it's 50. Because each leg needs 25 reps. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. So like Roman twist. I do a Roman twist. If you can't do it with your arms straight out, then bring your arms in and touch your elbows to the side on the floor, right? So you can modify based on your skill level, your training ability, and then don't give up, you know, work up to it. Be kind to yourself. Don't expect maximum results in one day. But I promise you, even if you did half of the 15-minute abs workout, if you had not done any abs for a long time, you will feel it. And they work. But it's not just about, you know, having great looking abs. It's about core and strength and form and stamina. So I even do this when I'm marathon training, right? People think marathon training is all about running. It's not. Marathon training is mental, number one. Number two, yeah, you got to condition your legs to run that long, that many hours. Like, I'm not the, you know, fastest duck in the pond. So, but I'm not the slowest. But then also strength, because think of it. I don't care if you're running and you finish a marathon in 2.5 hours and I finish in 4, right? Your body still has to have that strength. Your arms have to carry you. Your abs, your core has to help keep you upright. You know, while you're running, you need to keep your head in proper form. So ab training is not just about strengthening your ab muscles. It's about developing stamina and strength and core and maintaining that form that supports all of those elements, right?
All right.
I'm getting really excited. I may have to go do an ab workout.
Susan, just a couple more before I let you go. And you've mentioned all the cookbooks that you've written and put together. And I want to talk about, have you talk about all the wonderful books that you have available on your website and are also available on Amazon.com. And you're also working on another new project as well.
I am. I'm so excited to share with you that. So I do. I have books from Easy, you know, $7 Meals. That was a whole series that really got me started into writing cookbooks. Substitute Yourself Skinnies to this day is one of my favorite cookbooks I've ever written. And it's easy recipes, very flavorful, good for you, and just really fun to make. That's still, I feel, one of my favorite books I've written. I have Boost Your Metabolism, but another one of my favorite books is The Complete Idiot's Guide to Quinoa Cookbook. And a lot of people make fun of me for loving quinoa, but it, or a lot of quinoa has a stereotype of being very bland. But that's where that apple cider vinegar comes in, you know, or balsamic vinegar, lemon zest, lots of ways to add flavor to dishes. The Bikini Chef Diet kind of goes hand in hand with that 30-day bikini body challenge. So, but even more, you can tell if you go through my books how my own diet has changed over the years and just become more, you know, nut-based, and tried to get just support those who have that vegetarian diet, because it's easy for us, you know, as carnivores and pescatarians to add protein, but not as easy for the vegetarians and vegans. But I'm super excited. My dog Homer, if anybody follows me in social media at all, they know that my dog Homer was my knight in shining armor. He's the love of my life. And he passed away June of last year. And so I am working on an illustrated children's picture book, What Would Homer Do? Because he had such a loving heart that we should all strive to be like Homer. And wow. Yeah. And I have, I'm praying that a publisher will pick it up, because I'm writing it as a series. So I have 14 stories outlined in the series collection, and I don't want to give away, you know, the whole collection, but it goes from anywhere from Homer Finds a Home to Homer baking Christmas cookies with the neighbors.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So Homer was such a great love puppy. And so that's what I'm working on now. Illustrated children's book.
That's great. And I got to throw this in there too, because as I was going through your website, I love the t-shirts that you have for sale on there. I'm particularly fond of the one that says Italians and wine improve with age. I'll be purchasing that one. I promise you that.
I love it. Thank Susan, you so much for having me, Chris. It's been a pleasure, and appreciate all your support, and want to give you all the love right back.
I appreciate that very much. Remind our listeners, Susan, one more time how they can find all of these great things and follow you, oh, by the way, not only on your website, but on social media as well.
You know what? The Bikini Chef. If you just go to the Bikini Chef, it all comes up, bikinichef.com. My real estate is herbyrealestategroup.com, but I post so much at the bikinichef.com that you can click over there and it'll take you to herbyrealestategroup.com. And then I started Susan Irby's home chat. And so maybe I'll have you on my home chat.
There you go. All right. Turnabout is fair play. Susan, it's been so much fun getting to spend some time with you. I hope you'll come back and share more of your stories and insights with us sometime. You're the best.
No, you are. Okay, I look forward to that filet mignon picture and to seeing photos of you in social media walking the golf course.
All right. You get them, I promise. Okay. Take care, Susan. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up again soon.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Susan.
That is the great Susan Irby. IRBY is the spelling of her last name. TheBikiniChef.com is her website. And at The Bikini Chef on social media as well. Check out all the wonderful content that Susan puts out there. Her books are fantastic. You heard us talk about those during the course of our conversation. So many great recipes and diet plans to help us with healthy eating and a healthy lifestyle. She's always putting great things out on social media as well. Be sure to bookmark her site and stay up to date with what she's doing. We'll get her back on the show again soon. She's fantastic. Really looking forward to that. All right, my friends, that's the end of this special edition of Next on the Tee. Please stay up to date with all the things that we're doing by going online to our website, nextonthetee.net. Give me a follow on social media at CT Mascaro. You'll be able to hear about all the things that we are working on. Looking forward to a great 2023 season. The new season will start sometime around March, but in between now and then, we continue to bring you some great things. Going to the PGA Merchandise Show. Can't wait to come back and tell you all about what that experience is like. This is my very first show, so I'm very excited to be there. I'll share those experiences with you for sure. Until next time, hit them straight, my friends.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone. smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.